Safik, they say, was not the same after his fall. His mind was bruised. He plunged into despair, the depths of the prison. He crawled into the tunnels of madness. He sought dark places and dangerous men. Legends of Safik. The alleyway was so narrow that Atia could lean against one wall and kick the other. She waited in the dimness, listening, her breath condensing on glistening bricks. A flicker of flames around the corner sent red ripples down the walls. The shouts were louder now, the unmistakable roar of an excited crowd. She heard howls of delight, sudden gales of laughter, whistles and stamping, applause. Licking a fallen drip of condensation from her lips, she tasted its salty grit, knowing she had to face them. She had come too far, searched too long to back out now. It was useless feeling small and scared. Not if she ever wanted to escape. She straightened, edged to the end of the alley, and peered out. Hundreds of people were crammed into the small, torchlit square. They were squeezed together, their backs to her, the stench of sweat and bodies overpowering. Behind the mob, a few old women stood craning to see. Half-men crouched in shadows. Boys climbed on each other's shoulders, scrambling up onto the rooftops of squalid houses. Stalls of gaudy canvas sold hot food, the pungency of onions and spitting grease making her swallow with hunger. The prison was interested, too. Just above her, under the eaves of filthy straw, one of its tiny red eyes spied curiously on the scene. A howl of delight from the crowd made Atia set her shoulders. She stepped out deliberately. Dogs fought over scraps. She edged around them, past a shadowy doorway. Someone slipped out behind her. She turned, her knife already in her hand.
"Don't even try!"
The cutpurse stepped back, fingers spread, grinning. He was thin and filthy, and had few teeth.
"No problem, darling. My mistake."
She watched him slide into the crowd.
"It would have been," she muttered.
Then she sheathed her knife and barged in after him. Forcing a way through was tough. The people were tightly packed and eager to see whatever was going on up front. They groaned, laughed, gasped in unison. Ragged children crawled under everyone's feet, getting kicked and stepped on. Atia pushed and swore, slipped into gaps, ducked under elbows. Being small had its uses. And she needed to get to the front. She needed to see him. Winded and bruised, she squirmed between two huge men and found air. It was acrid with smoke. Firebrands crackled all around. Before her, an area of mud had been roped off. Crouched in it, all alone, was a bear. Atia stared. The bear's black fur was scabby, its eyes small and savage. A chain clanked around its neck, and well back in the shadows, a bear keeper held the end, a bald man with a long mustache, his skin glistening with sweat. Slung at his side was a drum. He beat it rhythmically and gave a sharp tug on the chain. Slowly, the bear rose to its hind legs and danced. Taller than a man, lumbering awkwardly, it circled, its muzzled mouth dripping saliva, its chains leaving bloody trails in its pelt. Atia scowled. She knew just how it felt. She put her hand up to her own neck, where the welts and bruises of the chain she had once worn were faded to faint marks. Like that bear, she had been a manacled thing. If it hadn't been for Finn, she still would be, or more likely, dead by now. Finn. His name was a bruise in itself. It hurt her to think of his treachery. The drum beat louder. The bear capered, its clumsy dragging at the chain making the crowd roar. Atia watched, grim-faced. And behind it, she saw the poster. It was plastered on the damp wall, the same poster that had been pasted up all over the village, Everywhere she had looked, ragged and wet, peeling at the corners, it invited gaudily, "Come all, you good people! See wonders! See the lost found! See the dead live! Tonight, see the greatest magician in Incarceron, wearing the dragon glove of Safik, the dark enchanter."